Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you not only told that lady in the Bible this, but you told us this as well. Somebody shared that with us, dear Lord, and we believed on it if we have accepted Christ as our Savior. And now we have the hope of eternal life that we will see you face to face one day. And we thank you for it. Bless now in this hour, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Back over in the book of Exodus for the final time, as we close out this study, the revelation of redemption. What a journey we've had the last couple years looking at this book, the book of Exodus, and this revelation of redemption. How we started all the way back to a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, and through the birth of Moses and through the enslavement of the Israelites as they were just a people, not a nation, but a people there when Joseph and Jacob brought his family in, and they were just a people, and God formed them into a nation as we see the plagues come in, and it was a judgment against all the gods of Egypt, especially the main gods of Egypt, showing that Jehovah God was the supreme God, the ultimate God, the only God. And how we see God deliver the people of Israel from Egypt and from enslavement. Of course, that is a type of the world. Egypt is a type of the world, and how Christ brings us from the bondage of the world once we accept Him as our Savior. We go through the Red Sea, and the deliverance there we've talked about. And we go into the wilderness and God's provision through the wilderness for His people. We get to Mount Sinai, we see the law given. We see the pattern of the tabernacle given. We see the apostasy of the people as they refuse to believe God is going to provide for them, and Moses is gone. And then we see the judgment of God and the wrath of God for sin. And then we see the tabernacle and all the aspects of the tabernacle and how God has shown to the Old Testament saints through the tabernacle and through the temple the Savior, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Lamb of God that was coming and that He has come now in the New Testament. And as we've seen now in the last few weeks, each of the articles and furniture and the pieces of the tabernacle and how we have seen how they all point to the work and ministry of Jesus Christ. We come today to close out this amazing lesson. And it's bittersweet. It's time to close it out, but at the same time, it's one of those, it's hard to close out a study, one of my favorite books of the Bible. We come to Exodus 40 today. And a lot is going on in chapter 39, 38, 39, and 40. And as we sum up this series, let's look first. Hold your place in Exodus 40 and go back to Exodus 25 and verse 8 and one verse. Exodus 25 and verse 8. Moses is on Mount Sinai. God has given him the instructions, the pattern for the tabernacle and why it's to be built. And verse number 8, the Bible says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." God wants to dwell amongst His people. Even in the New Testament day, God wants to dwell amongst His people. In the Old Testament, we had especially in the days of the wilderness, we had the pillar of cloud, we had the pillar of fire, which symbolized the presence of God amongst His people. And then God directed Moses and the people to build the tabernacle, and so that God could dwell among them in His presence in the tabernacle. And of course, we've looked at all the building of the tabernacle. All that building is now done. You come to chapter 39 and verse 43, the last verse in chapter 39. "And Moses did look upon all the work that has been done for the tabernacle. And behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them." The work was finished. Chapter 40 talks about the setting up of the tabernacle. And as Moses goes about putting everything in its proper place, just as God had shown him on Mount Sinai in that pattern, the true tabernacle in heaven, that Moses is now placing the pieces in the earthly tabernacle. And it comes to verse 34. The setting up is done. The building is done. The work is done. You come to verse 34 of Exodus 40. "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Go back to verse 35 or 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. It's filled with the glory of God, with the presence of God, with the Shekinah glory of God. You know, the command all the way back in chapter 25 and verse 8 that we looked at, that you should make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. This command to make the tabernacle was given to Moses, but also to Israel. Throughout this study, we have watched as God has given detailed instructions for every aspect of the walk of His people. How to live, how to worship, how to walk with God. And of course, through the tabernacle, we see that demonstrated. Remember, worship is so important to God. True worship. True worship is so important to God that He leaves no detail to the imagination of man. He allows us to understand how we are to worship Him with true worship. The tabernacle was not built overnight. It was roughly a 9-month building project. If you look at all the details of what has gone on and transpired, that's quite a task in 9 months. But the tabernacle was a tent. It was not a permanent structure. The temple to come would be a permanent structure. The tabernacle was a tent, a movable object. There was no settling of the foundation dirt. There was no soil to be compressed. There was no footers to be laid or a slab to be laid. No pouring of cement, no building inspections, no waiting for electricians or plumbers or drywallers, or painters, or roofers. There was no financial issues. The entire tabernacle building process started with a command and a voluntary offering. Everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work of the tent of the tabernacle. And for all of its service, and for all the sacred garments, men and women alike brought gold and silver and bronze and fine linen and goat hair and ram skins, acacia wood, gems and spices and olive oil. All that seen back in Exodus 35 at the freewill offering. And the next step was the appointment of the workmen. God gave two men, specifically one man, the task of the construction, the watch over, the supervision of the tabernacle, Bezalel. And Aholiab was given as his assistant. And we've seen them as the project managers to build the tabernacle and all the workmen they were to supervise and to teach. They were filled with the Spirit of God. These men were gifted with skill and ability and knowledge and all kinds of crafts to make artistic designs and to cut and set stones and to work in wood and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship back in Exodus 31. Furthermore, any women who were willing and had the skill to spin blue and purple and scarlet yarn or fine linen were able to work for the service. That's back in Exodus 35, verses 25 and 26. God wanted to use His people in the construction of the tabernacle. And it all came from a free offering, a free will offering. They chose to give. As part of a New Testament worship, we also should want to make voluntary offerings. Not only of our, we should give what is required of us, of our tithes, but we should also give our voluntary offerings, not only financially, but of our time and our talents, abilities. Why? Because God still uses our wealth, our time, and our talents for of His people to the furtherance of the gospel. You know, if you think back to who spoke to you about the gospel that first time, You think back to that time. Was it in a church? Was it in a tent meeting? Was it at a revival? Was it door to door? Was it in a bus ministry? Where were you when someone spoke to you about the ministry? Well, God was using a person to do that. Someone who was willing to give of their time. And if it was in a building, a structure, a house, a house of God, a revival meeting, a tent meeting, then people have given for that ministry to flourish for the furtherance of the gospel. After the tabernacle and its furnishings were built, there was a building inspection. All brought what they had built for the tabernacle. All the articles, all the furniture, all the garments were all brought to Moses. We saw that in verse 43. Moses looked upon all the work. Chapter 39, verse 32 through 43 talks about all the people bringing what they had built, designed from the pattern of God. The inspector was Moses, and everything was brought to him for the inspection, for he alone saw the pattern of the tabernacle. The tent and all its furnishings, its sockets, its pins, its pillars, its boards, the multiple coverings of the roof, the Ark of the Testimony with its staves and the mercy seat, the table of showbread with all its articles and the bread of the presence, the pure gold lampstand with its row of lamps and all its accessories and the oil for the light, the altar of incense, the anointing oil, the fragrant incense, the curtain for the entrance into the holy place, the brazen altar with all its bronze grating, its staves and all its utensils, the laver with its foot, the curtains of the courtyard with its pillars and bases, and the curtain for the entrance to the court, the ropes and the tent pegs for the courtyard, and all the furnishings for the tabernacle and the tent of the meeting, and all the woven garments for the high priest and for the priest that would be ministering in the sanctuary, both the sacred garments of Aaron and the garments for his sons who would be serving in the tabernacle. All were brought to Moses for inspection, and Moses looked at all. And it says in verse 43 of chapter 39, and Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. The work was done. So if we would review this quickly, God gave Moses the blueprint for the building of the tabernacle. Materials were donated by the children of God. The appointment of the workmen have done their work. Moses has done his inspection. Now it was time for the tabernacle to be set up and dedicated. And that's chapter 40. They've set it up by the pattern that God showed Moses. And now they dedicate the tabernacle to God. Not to man, not to Moses, but to God. They dedicate God's house. Remember Exodus 25, verse 8? Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. They're doing this for God. Everything was finally ready. The tabernacle was complete. The sin of the people was atoned for because fire came from the presence of God and consumed the burnt offering through this dedication. You can see that back in Leviticus chapter 9. And verse 24, where the dedication service and the offering is given and the fire comes down and consumes the offering. And all the people saw the consumption by fire of the altar of the offering. And they shouted for the joy, the Bible says, and they fell on their faces to God. We go back to Exodus 40 and verse 34. Then, after all that, then, a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. Now, this cloud is not a new cloud to the children of Israel. This cloud is a pillar of cloud by day, and it's a pillar of fire by night, and it's been leading the children of Israel through the wilderness from the Red Sea all the way to Mount Sinai. And every day, if it stops in the day, this pillar of cloud is in the center of the camp. And they can see God is here. And it gives them the shade, because in the wilderness they're at, it is a hot place, an almost desert place. Very little shade to be found, and the pillar of cloud is giving providing for them this comfort, this shade. And if it moves during the day, the trumpets would blast and the camp would pack up and they would follow in a procession outlined by God. Wherever the pillar of cloud moved during day, they would follow it. And at night, when nighttime would come, it would turn from a pillar of cloud to a pillar of fire. For at nighttime, you couldn't see a pillar of cloud, and God wanted His people to know that He is in their presence amongst them. So it's a pillar of fire, not only giving them warmth in that desert coldness, but they could see in the center of the camp, as it stopped, God is amongst them. And if at night the pillar of fire would start moving, the trumpets would blare, they'd pack up camp and they would follow in their procession ordered by God and follow the pillar of fire until it stopped. So this cloud is not a new cloud to the children of Israel. It has been with them for almost a year now. But in verse 34, then that cloud that has been in the center of the camp, the tabernacle is built and placed in the center of the people, in the center of the camp. And that cloud moves to the tabernacle. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This is what the Jewish nation has labeled the Shekinah glory of God. Shekinah is not a word we find in our Bible, but it is a Hebrew word that refers to the Shekinah glory, to the presence of God, the glory of God, and it means a resting place, a place to be settled, an inhabitants, a dwell, to dwell. So this word Shekinah means it has come, the presence of God, the glory of God has come to settle here, or to inhabit here, or to dwell here. And it's dwelling in the center of the camp in the tabernacle they have just finished and set up. Imagine, if you will, you're one of the Israelites. Back in that day, during the construction of the tabernacle, you had given an offering of gold and of silver or bronze. Your wife has helped to spin the fine linen. Your kids have scoured the desert for acacia wood. Maybe you're one of the craftsmen commissioned to make one of the pieces of furniture, and you watch with pride as Moses is placing those pieces throughout its proper place in the tabernacle for its first time. You are there when the tabernacle is dedicated, and you see God come and consume the offering, and you fall on your face and worship God. You are there, and as you see the tabernacle finished in all its glory, and Moses has come and inspected everything, and he blesses the people for their work, for they have done as God had commanded. And you're just swelled with exuberance and excitement and pride, knowing that you have done the work. Then the most important thing happens. The cloud comes and covers the tabernacle. Nothing else matters. The offering that you have given doesn't matter. The labor doesn't matter. The time that you have spent crafting or looking for the wood or embroidering or weaving, it doesn't matter. God's presence has come and indwelt the work that you have built for Him. That's what matters. No longer is your service important. No longer is your offering important to you. No longer is that feeling of pride there. No longer is that feeling of self-worth, look what I have done. It's all gone when the Shekinah glory cloud of God comes onto the tabernacle and fills it. Nothing else matters. Suddenly the gold and the silver seems as nothing. Suddenly the blue and the purple and the scarlet cloth lose its interest and luster. Suddenly the furnishings don't look so impressive. Suddenly the gifts of dedication pale in comparison. Nothing counts other than the glory of God has come and accepted what you have given and labored for. Because the presence of God is the real glory of the tabernacle. We have a beautiful building here. We have a beautiful campus here and all the buildings and land that God has given us. It's beautiful what God has done. And many times we have people come in and look at our building and want to take it out and build another building. And there is a church right down the road that's very similar to ours as they came and looked at our beautiful building. The furnishings, we don't sit on a hard pew. We sit on a comfortable pew that people have given for. These didn't just come free. We walk on carpet that we can, it's padded, and we don't have to walk on a concrete floor. And we have sound systems where everybody from the furthest back to the center and to the front can hear, and those across the world can hear. All of that pales in comparison to when God comes and indwells His building. The most important thing about a building or a ground is the presence of God. This is nothing if God's not here. It's just another building in the town of Clayton. It's just a building. It's just got fancy pews and a sound system. It's nothing if God's presence isn't here. There's a story told about 50 to 60 years ago of a church in Washington, D.C. And the President of the United States at that time attended that church. One day, the telephone rang in the vestibule and an eager voice on the other end asked, "Tell me, do you expect the President to be there this Sunday?" The one answering the church phone says, "Well, I cannot promise that He will be in attendance. But we do expect God, and that should be incentive enough for you to be here." I serve the God of all creation. And I don't come, if President Trump was here today, or all the living presidents were here today, I wouldn't come for them. I would come for God. The most important thing about the tabernacle was the presence of God. And it's displayed in the Shekinah glory cloud. It's not just a tent anymore. It's just not furnishings anymore. It's not just cloth anymore. It's much more than a tent. It has become the dwelling place of Jehovah God in the midst of His people. The Shekinah glory cloud represented the presence of God with His people. The filling of the tabernacle with the glory of God was the symbol of Jehovah's taking up His abode in it. And so in Israel and His desire to dwell amongst them. Can you imagine God wanting to dwell amongst us? The Creator of the universe wants to dwell among us. You know yourself. I know myself. Well, God knows us better than we know our own selves. And He still wants to dwell amongst us? Yes, He does. You know, once a person believes and receives Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are indwelt by the presence of God, by the Holy Spirit of God. He comes and indwells that person. And that is God's glory coming inside that person. For the Holy Spirit of God is part of the Godhead. And He is not any less than any of the other. Holy Spirit of God is equal, co-equal with God the Father and God the Holy, God the Son, Jesus Christ. And so, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the God comes and dwells within you. The church that strives to honor and glorify God, God is dwelling amongst that church. One day, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, all those who accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior as part of the bride of Christ, One day, the bride of Christ will be perfected in the full glory of God. What a day that will be. Throughout this study, we have seen Israel in bondage. We have beheld its redemption, have followed it through the wilderness, have heard the thunders of the law at Sinai, have been witnesses of the nation's covenant with God, have seen its shameful apostasy, have traced the steps of its reconciliation, have heard the instructions given for the building of the tabernacle, have viewed the tabernacle and all its parts in detail, and have finally seen the glory of God dwelling amongst His people within the tabernacle. However, that's not the end of the story. Yes, it's the end of Exodus chapter 40. The book of Exodus. But that's not the end of the story. There is a perfect ending coming. If you will, turn over to Revelation chapter 21. The last book of the Word of God, and the second to last chapter. In Revelation chapter 21, John on the Isle of Patmos is given by inspiration of God to write what he sees. In chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 1, "And I, John, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." We can accumulate all we want here. One day it's going to be gone. "And the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God.'" Notice that phrase. The tabernacle of God. What have we been studying for weeks upon weeks in Exodus is the tabernacle of God. Here is the true tabernacle. Remember, Moses was given a pattern of one in heaven. The tabernacle of God is where? With men. "And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" God is saying, write, because this is true and faithful, because it's the one that sat on the throne. And notice, again, in verse 3, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." The true tabernacle of God will be with men. And He will dwell amongst His people. His glory will fill it. Notice in verse 23. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." The glory of God will fill the new heaven. The glory of God will no longer be unapproachable. Remember back in Exodus chapter 40 when Moses, he sees the glory of God come and fill the tabernacle. Let's look at it real quick so I can show you the truths here that we have been revealed to us. Back in Exodus chapter 40. Look over in verse 35, "And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Moses couldn't approach the tabernacle because it was filled with God's glory. Why? Because Moses was still a sinner. Just as all of us are sinners. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a sinner saved by grace, but you're still a sinner. And I'm still a sinner. Moses was still a sinner. He could not approach the glory of God. But if you go over to chapter 22 of Revelation, Notice with me in verse 1, Revelation 22, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse," praise the Lord for that, "no more curse of the law. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face. And His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they shall need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever. We will be with Him and see Him. No longer will the glory of God be unapproachable. We shall be able to endure the sight of the glory of God and see God's face and not die." What a great day that will be. You ask, when? Oh, when is this going to happen? I wish I could tell you the exact date, but I don't know. Neither does the Son of God know. God the Father knows. And when He steps over and tells His Son, "Go get your bride," then we'll know it's time. Only then will we know. But we have a glimmer and a glimpse of how this is going to happen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, very familiar passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." And it goes on from there, but it's saying, one day, He's coming back. Just as it said in the book of Acts, "Behold, just as He come, this same Jesus will come again." Just as it says in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And Thomas asked a question that we would all want to ask, "Where are you going? We don't know the way." Jesus says, "You know the way, for you've known me. I am the way." Until we hear the trump of God, we are to continue worshiping, serving, giving, living for God. Until then, we must be content to walk by faith, not by sight, following the leading and the direction of the Spirit of God that indwells us. God is tabernacled with us. If you will go back to John chapter 1, I've got just a moment, let me show you that verse. John chapter 1. What a blessing this is. And it says in verse 14, John 1, 14, "And the Word," this Word means Jesus Christ. It's a capital W. And if you go back and read chapter 1 of John, you'll see it's talking about Jesus Christ. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." That word dwelt, He tabernacled amongst us. He lived among us. He wanted to settle here. He wanted to indwell here. He wanted to inhabit here within you. And He does that through the Spirit of God. So God is in our midst. Not only in our building, for He says, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, so there I'll be also." But He's also inside of you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He indwells you. And He is tabernacle within you. And one day this incorruption will put on incorruptible. One day this mortal will put on immortality. And I will be able to be in the face and see the face of God and His glory. But until that day, I must go on following the leading of the Spirit of God. For in Exodus chapter 40, I'll close with this. Exodus chapter 40, verse 36, "And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onwards in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. We know when the Holy Spirit is leading us, our responsibility is to follow. Heavenly Father, thank you for this study. What a study it has been. And we praise your name for it. We praise your name for this book that you have given us, a revelation of redemption for mankind. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would now help us to remember and reflect back on all these as we go back and reread these chapters through this book and think on what God has shown us through this book. Help us, Lord, to remember it's all about you. It's all about the glory of God, not of man. I pray that you bless the next hour. Bless our pastor. Help him, dear Lord. Give him exactly what he needs this morning to say, "Thus saith the Lord." And we thank you and praise you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.